You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Get It Right Texoma with Mike Hendren, Perry McAdams, Trey Sorala. How you doing out there? Glad to have you along. This podcast brought to you in part by MacTech Solutions, located 4020 Ray Road, Suite 3B here in Wichita Falls. We are in the MacTech Solutions studio. In fact, right now, it's where we do this podcast from. Yep. It's also brought to you by Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles, 401 North Scott, downtown Wichita Falls since 1966. The power sports authority, as far as I'm concerned.
For all your power sports needs in Texoma.
Got that right, baby. Downtown, EddieHillsFunCycles.com. Also brought to you in part by myself, Mike Hendren. I'm a real estate agent here in Wichita Falls with Anchored Realty. So if you've got real estate needs, selling, buying, commercial, residential, farm and ranch, land, whatever it is you're looking for, I'm your guy. I can help you out. 940-232-3876 is how you get me on the phone. You can also find me online at the real estate website, which is anchored-realty.com.
And we have another sponsor today as well.
We do. Because one of my other ventures is a little something my wife and I are involved in called Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop. And you can find us online at lpsweet.com.
I'm assuming that's what your grandchildren call you.
That's what the grandbabies call us. Yeah. And I promised these guys I was going to bring some treats in, and I did.
Cookies.
I got some of our chocolate chip cookies. These are made from scratch, 100% made from
scratch. Did you buy the
scratch
local?
Yeah, we get the scratch from a guy downtown.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, no, it's 100% scratch-made cookies, and these are our super giant large ones right here.
Yep.
We call these our grande chocolate chip cookies. And then we have some more of our, as I call them,
just one.
A little more traditional size, but these are chocolate chip cookies. Would you guys like to sample?
Absolutely. Catholic?
Yeah. Okay. Well, what is this one?
These are all chocolate chip.
I thought you had different names.
These are our grande. These are our super giant chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
And these are our traditional. These are more, it's a little more like what you would get, you know, in a
is it
any
just
typical
the size
bakery.
Is
yeah, just
oh,
the size
okay.
is different.
Well, then I'll start small here.
Well, you know. Usually sometimes the bigger cookies have a little more. Get chewy because they're just larger.
Oh. Yeah. Well, don't think you're going to leave me out of this. I mean, just.
Okay, well.
Mm. That's a good cookie.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good cookie.
You know, cookies and milk would be great with my cookies. They're really good, though.
I know. Mm. Very tasty.
So.
But.
And what else do y'all sell?
We also do pies. We'll do apple, cherry. We do a strawberry, and so very many of those. Some people do like strawberry pie. Cherry pie and apple pie, obviously, two of the biggest ones. Our pecan pies, that's kind of what we started with.
It is pecan. It is not pecan. No. Pecan is something you use the restroom in.
That's right. We also do fudge pralines, or pralines, as some of you call them.
I was going to say, praline is not a Texas word.
Praline is more, it's more of a...
That's Louisiana.
So my wife is a native of Louisiana. And pralines are a huge, huge thing there.
Yeah.
And you get them, you know, crunchy or, you know, a little more firm, soft, chewy, gooey. We can do them either way. But the old school recipe that we've got, it's one that's been in the family for literally probably 100-plus years. And it's more of a traditional praline with pecans, and they are outstanding. And We've sold bunches of them. We've given bunches of them away. They are a huge, huge hit. So, again, lpsweet.com is the website. Also on Facebook. We do everything, you know, custom order. We don't have a brick and mortar yet. We're working on that. But we do everything custom order. You know, $25 minimum charge for delivery. You order at least $25 worth of product, and we'll deliver free of charge within 25 miles of Wichita Falls. And we can ship it to you. You know, if you live outside the area and it's, you know, beyond the 25 miles and, you know, we don't ship to you, we can arrange for that too.
And I will tell you, those cookies are really good cookies. I'm a cookie guy. Mm-hmm. I can take or leave most other sweets, and cookies are my thing, and those are damn good cookies.
Tons of chocolate chips.
Yeah.
We do them with almonds, macadamia,
The regular chocolate chip is the most popular.
I was going to say, just don't even step on it. All that other stuff is okay a little bit, but chocolate chip cookies, just that's all you need.
Pretty good.
Chocolate chip.
I'll stop there.
Yeah, no, I'm over here. My mouth's going to water the rest of the time here, but that's okay.
I'm telling you.
I'm gonna hold off.
Speaking of water, I got you a drink of mine.
Well, what we've got going on here, while Mike's doing that here, I'll take over on this part of it. The Dallas Zoo has come to Riverbend Nature Center here in Wichita Falls on April 23rd.
Oh, yeah.
Two shows starting at 10 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. The 45-minute interactive program features animals from around the world. Admission is only $5 per person, and babies age 1 and under are free. You can call Riverbend Nature Center at 940-767-0843. And Riverbend Nature Center, if you're not familiar with it, is this really awesome oasis right here in Wichita Falls.
Yeah.
And you would not believe just driving down Seymour Highway, Old Seymour Highway, or 5th Street, if you're going leaving downtown, that there's a nature center inside the city.
Yeah.
But you're driving by, and all of a sudden you see on this hill, you see a building, and it kind of looks like an office building, but when you go there, it's full of animals, full of docents and people who can talk to you about animals and nature. They have a nature trail. It's an awesome place. So if you don't have a chance to, if you've never had a chance to go visit Riverbend Nature Center, this would be a great time to do that.
Yep, sure would be. April 27th and 28th at 4 o'clock, it's the Guardians of Freedom Open House and Air Show at Shepherd Air Force Base. First air show we've had in several years now. The U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds are going to be there. We all know about them. Heritage Flight, Wings of Blue, Golden Knights, and F-35 demonstration team. Lots of static displays, lots of aircraft flying and doing all kinds of, demonstrations for you.
Ironically,
it's a lot of fun.
Ironically, and Terry knows exactly what I'm talking about, one of the most dangerous things you can have when you're dealing with airplanes, static.
Oh, yeah, right, static.
And he's just talking about having a static display.
But they're grounded.
Am I right, though? AV gas is very...
Right, while you're fueling is the primary thing, but jet fuel's really just kerosene, but it's still, we don't want to take any chances on it.
But they make sure they ground the hell out of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So we got a lot going on around the area and a lot going on in our world, folks. We've got this is something that Trace, we've had this on the list here for a while now, and I just want to jump into this. Squatter Hunter SoCal.
Yeah, this is something Terry actually found.
Yeah, so.
What is this all about?
Well, okay, so there's clearly, as a landlord, as a property owner, and you're renting it out, you have legal responsibilities that you take on.
Yes.
With that, and the tenants also get rights, and you know a little bit about that because you're in the real estate world.
Yes.
And so when it comes down to the use of property, even if you have taken possession, I guess is that you're possessing it, or you're taking up residence anyway in a piece of property, there apparently is some rights that you get afforded you, but it's not necessarily that you're necessarily going to stay forever, but that you have to go through a process to be evicted.
Which is ridiculous. I cannot believe there's such a thing as a squatter, squatters have rights.
Right. And so what happens is that as the property owner, your hands are tied, you must go through a due process, allow for that person before they are removed from your property, which can apparently take months, if not years in some cases.
Yep. Yep.
So somebody's looked and kind of thought through this a little bit and came up with, well, wait a minute, what if it's not the property owner? Mm-hmm. Now, this guy, he says, look, I'm not an attorney, and he does consult with an attorney and all of that. And this is out in California, this particular case. And he is a hired gun. And basically it involves the property owner granting an official formal lease sort that, which then gives that person right to go into it. Now indirectly that makes that then gives that person rights to get into the property, which then his job ultimately is to drive the other person off.
And that's what he does. He brings a team in.
Yep.
Right. And they set up cameras everywhere.
Yeah, they're watching.
They play
observing.
Loud music. They bang pots. They do all kinds of stuff to make it to where nobody wants to stay there, basically.
Make it very uncomfortable for that squatter to remain there.
Exactly.
And so it basically, there's a certain, and he actually tells the property owner, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do.
No.
And of course, the price goes up if it starts becoming a little bit dangerous or whatever, more difficult it is. But the thing is, these property owners can spend tens of thousands.
In fact, I think
there's in one case, this guy had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to evict someone. Yep. And that is just nuts. What happened to actually the fact that you hold title to a piece of property and you can't just evict someone in short order? I mean, shouldn't take 90, well, I mean, 90 days. Okay, unless, 60 to 90 days.
As far as I'm concerned, unless they hold a lease. Now,
well, that's what I'm saying.
They have a right. You can't just walk in and tell them, get the hell out of there. If they have a lease, that there needs to be some sort of that. And then you have to bring a magistrate in or somebody from the government to come in and determine whether that lease is a valid lease or not like that.
Right.
But as far as this, where somebody has any rights on your property.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the court system is so backed up. Do you get into, so we're going to protect, we're going to let that person stay in a home in the meantime.
That is part of it. But I can't speak for California, but here in Texas, a lot of the squatters' rights and the laws that surround that, these are things on the books that go back decades, a century or more.
Yeah.
A lot of this is very old law.
It's outdated, yeah.
It's outdated. Now, here's the funny thing. If I'm sitting in my living room and somebody kicks my front door in and says, I'm taking your house away from you, I believe I have a right to use deadly force. Mm-hmm. My home is being invaded. My home is being threatened if I'm there. If I'm on vacation for 2 weeks and I come back and somebody has moved into my house and changed the locks on my doors, and I know this because I know people locally who've been through this, I can't have the power turned off. I can't have the water turned off. I have to maintain the utilities, and I can't go kick my own door in.
It's ridiculous.
Even though I own the house and the door attached to it, I can't go boot my own door in.
Right. It's
insane.
You should be able to show. I mean, look, if the power, the electric bill, the water bill, and you have a copy of the lease, well, of course, the copy of the lease probably is in the house. But if you go to the landlord and they can prove that you actually have legal, you have a legal contract for living in that space, then that ought to be pretty quick and easy. The police ought to be able to evict you.
Well, in both cases here locally, I know it took 4 to 6 months. Work through the process.
This is the business. This is the business you need. You sign a lease with this person. And I guarantee there'll be more and more of these, because I don't know if you guys saw, but there was and I believe it was from Venezuela, there was a illegal alien from Venezuela that was doing a YouTube video, and he was saying, come to America and start setting up residence in empty houses, and they can't get rid of you. Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It is.
We have got to enforce, we need to enforce the laws that are on the books. We need to change laws for property owners' rights. If you have a lease, then no, somebody should not be able to come in and evict you without due process.
Sure.
But if you don't have a lease,
you have a right to be there.
You don't have a right to be there. And I think it all goes back to, you could say, well, they gave me permission to be here. Well, I'm no longer giving you permission to be here. You got 24 hours to get the hell out of here.
You know, as a real estate agent, obviously I sell a lot of properties that are vacant. They're empty. You know, the person that owns it.
Somebody's cooking popcorn here.
I smell
popcorn.
We have a popcorn.
But I sell a lot of properties, a lot of homes that are empty, that are vacant. One of the things that I do for my clients as their agent is I go by that property regularly, at least once every 48 hours, once every 24 hours, if possible, when feasible to do so. And I check on that property. Make sure it's secure. Make sure no windows have been broken. Make sure the property hasn't been breached. If gates are locked, make sure the gates are locked. I just had one recently where we had someone enter the property through a back gate, you know, that wasn't supposed to be there. I went, because my clients don't live here anymore, I purchased chains and good padlocks, and I locked those gates up to make sure they can't just walk in. They're going to have to jump the fence if they want in there now, okay? Or they're going to have to or bring a really good saw with them, because that chain is – I bought some heavy-duty stuff, let me tell you. But I check on my clients' properties to ensure that they are secure and safe. That's I feel like that's part of my duty as your representative, as your real estate agent, to make sure that, that property is secure.
Well, if you have any questions about this, go check it out. He's on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah.
It's called Squatter Hunter. Is in Southern California. Yep. It's a really cool video.
Yep. It really there you go.
All right, there's that. Ag Commissioner Sid Miller here in Texas, it's announced that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has confirmed the presence of a strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza, commonly known as the bird flu, among cattle in the Texas panhandle.
We got to put masks on the cattle now?
please don't try that. You know, I could see somebody, some activist person out there trying to put a mask on a bull.
Yeah.
It's not going to end well.
Good luck. Yeah.
It's not going to end well. Don't do it. Don't even think about it.
Well, I think the good news is I don't believe we're losing any cattle from this. I think they're just, you can't use their milk. It's a lot of more, it's on the dairy cows.
Yeah.
So they're having to separate them from the herd.
Yeah,
and then you have to keep milking them. I mean, the thing is, they don't produce as much milk when they're sick, obviously.
Right.
But when you're milking, a milk cow has to be milked by something. So I think they have to keep milking it, but they have to throw the milk away. Then they have to they have to isolate the milk. They have to isolate the milking machine. It's a huge cost in labor and time and lost product.
Right. Yeah. Very,
and then
very
after
costly.
About, I think 7 to 10 days is what they're saying, that the, it can work through the – cow system, but then they have to retest and test. So it's a big deal. Like I said, we're not losing cattle from it, but you are losing milk product and you're losing a lot of time.
Well, yeah. Well, they gotta imagine they're putting antibiotics and everything to help fight it off. I imagine, right?
Well, it's a virus. No,
it's a virus. Oh, okay, not a virus. Okay, yeah. All right.
Vehicle accident deaths.
But you know, they're having to go through Mucinex like crazy to get.
Oh gosh. Vehicle.
How do you put Vicks Vapor Rub on a cow's chest?
Very carefully.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or not at all. I don't know. A big increase in vehicle accident deaths. A total of 42,939 people died in vehicle crashes in 21. These deaths occurred in 39,508 crashes involving over 61,000 motor vehicles. A 10% increase. Compared with just 1 year prior in 2020.
But that is all about there were fewer people on the road.
Well, yeah, but here's...
Right? I mean, or not.
Well, the reason I put in here, the premise that I put in here, wasn't that there's accidents or less accidents. The accidents are more deadly than they used to be, which is strange because our cars are safer. Why is that? Well, I have a theory.
Well, if...
Speed.
But when they do occur and they're bad, it's sort of that they're either you're going to survive and be reasonably unhurt or you're.
But the increase was 10%. I think what's happening, and this is my guess, but it makes sense.
Okay. Well,
there's more people texting and driving distracted than they used to.
Yeah.
So when you're driving, and you're not distracted. Say you're driving and somebody starts to move over into your lane. Mm-hmm. You see him, you avoid, you know. So sometimes you might have an accident, but it's not usually a sudden impact type accident.
Right.
When you're texting, when you're buried into your phone,
right,
and the other person especially is buried in their phone, nobody's making any avoidable maneuvers to avoid the accident.
Right.
Accident avoidance maneuvers do help lower the death rate in accidents. Because the accidents are not head on, or they're not solid. You're not solid hits, and I believe because our cars are safer than they used to be.
Definitely, yeah.
And there's more lane departure notifications and all sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The only thing that, in my opinion, that is changed to go with this 10% increase in vehicle deaths per accident is a distracted driving where people are focused on the phone. And when they hit something, they don't even realize they were about to hit it.
Yeah. Yeah. I see, we all do, but you know, every day, cause I working in real estate, I'm on the road a lot. I do a lot of driving, lots of driving, and I'll see people literally they're flying down the freeway at 70, 75 miles an hour plus, and doing this,
you know,
one hand on the wheel and thumb going crazy on the phone texting. And I don't understand. I mean, I do good to text when I'm sitting still, frankly. I don't do the whole abbreviation thing like some people do.
The increase, it drops up.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think the phones play a big role in that. You know, in Texas, it's illegal to text and drive now. We've made it against the law. Here in Wichita Falls, you're not even supposed to be talking on your phone.
Which I think that's ridiculous.
You know, you're supposed to use hands-free.
Yeah,
but this is not dangerous. This is dangerous.
I'm not
ever going to buy into the holding your phone up to your head is dangerous while you're driving. I'm not going to buy into
that. I don't like doing it anyway. I just put it into a little holder. I mean, I understand, but
some people don't have newer cars. Some people don't have that capability.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is it is a lot less dangerous when you're doing this. You are looking at the road.
Right.
Yeah. I've driven thousands and thousands and thousands of miles like this.
Right.
I'll tell you what sometimes some people is more dangerous than some people think, is people who don't realize it's not poor etiquette to not look at your passenger when you're driving next to each other in a car.
Right.
You follow people sometime, and you'll see people swerving. You think they must be on the phone. No, they're the passenger, and every time they look, they talk. It's like, no, look forward and talk.
My grandkids, you know, they'll be in the back seat. Pops, look at this. Look. I'm like, I can't. I'm driving. Yeah. Sorry, I can't look right now. You know, they're you know, grade school age children, they don't understand that you can't look at them. You're right. You don't have to be looking at someone to have the conversation with them. But
we look at each other some, but we don't constantly look at each other.
No. Look at the camera. We're staring off into space I wonder.
We've had zero accidents while doing this podcast.
No one here has been injured yet.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you get one of the little things on the, remember the thing you put on, like you go into a factory or something that says so many days since the accident's reported?
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyhow, I really believe that I don't know for sure. This is, you know, this is kind of one of those things that I take a lot of thoughts and ideas and see some statistics. I kind of try to extrapolate why is that happening.
Yeah.
And I truly believe you drive down the road and you see it all the time.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. We need to go back to 1900 when there was a 0.05 fatalities per 100,000 population.
Yeah.
There were only 36 deaths
because people were driving five miles an hour.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. Yeah, but there weren't that many cars.
Honestly, that's
112
also,
people in the whole country
that's
had a car.
That's also my biggest argument when people talk about guns and this bullshit. I absolutely hate the argument. If it saves one life, that is such a blowhardy bullshit thing, no matter what you're talking about. Because if that's the truth, if all you care about is saving one life, you would be in favor of either outlawing vehicles completely. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can live. People lived hundreds of thousands, millennia with no vehicles. So we can live. It changed life, but you can live. Or lower the speed limit to 30 miles an hour. Because at 30 miles an hour in a modern car, you would have virtually no deaths in vehicle accidents because you almost can't hit anything hard enough at 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. To expand on this a little bit, what he brought this up for was that pre-COVID, you're talking, let's just run through the numbers. There were in 2017, 37,000 deaths, a little over 37,000, 2018, 36,000, almost 37,000, 2019, 36,000, and then in 2020, actually, it went up a little bit, 38,000. And then in 2021, went to 42,000. So that's pretty big. Yeah, it's even higher than pre-COVID.
And then it doesn't
say miles driven.
But it doesn't matter. That's even worse because we know that there's fewer miles driven.
Well, right.
So to me, it's you're having more deaths with fewer miles driven.
Here we go.
Well, you got more people working remotely now. More people working from home, whatever. So yeah, naturally, you got fewer miles driven.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, wait a minute. No, no. It actually, in 2021, there were more 30. 3,230 mile. I forget what the thing is. Billions. So miles traveled. Okay. Right. So, yeah. So anyway, that number went up though. Pretty, but it went back to pre-COVID levels, but 2019.
Percentage wise, it didn't
right.
Go
so
up
really no, but yeah, still the numbers. This is something. This is an exercise, and I even within our friendship here, we always challenge each other and sort of validate,
like to
fact check ourselves to say, hey, well, wait a minute, what about this? What about that? And it's not, it's raw numbers don't mean, it doesn't give you context.
Well, what would interest me is to know, and you have to dive a lot deeper into this data, the ages of the victims.
Yeah.
You know, that would be interesting as well.
How old or young were they? I will tell you this, we do tend to, when it comes to the texting and driving thing, we do tend to look at younger populations and go, they're the big offenders. I'm going to tell you something. I have been rolling down the highway and seen people that are clearly my age or older.
You see Peepaw and Meemaw doing it.
Texting and driving.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing.
You're not that good a driver.
Well, no. As we get older, guys, I mean, it's just a fact of life. As we get older, our reflexes, our response time diminishes. We get slower. It's just a fact of life. And with that reduced response time, couple that with the dangers of texting and driving. Now you've exponentially increased the possibility of an accident and maybe even a fatal accident, because now you've got two negatives working there. Decreased response time and increased distraction.
Well,
and people also try to make the argument having this, you know, having the radio on the car is a distraction. Yeah. You know, messing with the stereos.
Looking at the road when you're going down the road. If you're talking on the phone, listening to the radio, whatever. When you're looking at the road, you're not nearly as distracted as you are if your eyes are off the road.
Matter of fact, I've seen two stories in the last probably 5 or 6 years of, and I'm sure it happens a lot more. These just happen to be ones where they got caught of people watching TV in the car. They're not on the phone. They're actively watching something on a screen in the car while they're trying to drive.
But you don't know what was on, Mike. Maybe they had to get that rerun to Leave It to Beaver in or something. They didn't see that.
It was Leave It to Beaver.
Something else that's of note here. Now, this is on a Wikipedia article about deaths, car accidents, and things. They've got 2022 statistics here that are not complete, but it's what's interesting is because apparently it takes several years to get these numbers consolidated.
So,
in 2022, it was a slight increase. Slight decrease.
It's virtually 40, the same.
Yeah, 42,795. But yeah, that's still higher, much higher than even 2020 and prior. Yeah. But then, here's what got me is the total population added over 5 million in the country, if this is talking about states.
Yeah, but we don't know how many of those people added cars.
No, I know. Right. But I'm just curious. The age, why is it, did we become more dependent on these, on our phones over COVID? And so then we transferred that into the car?
And also a narcissism.
Yeah. I don't know.
As a country, we're more narcissistic. Look, you're not that good a driver. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not good enough to drive it. I've driven more miles than anybody I know that doesn't drive for a living. Now, there are people, that drive for livings, truck drivers, people that are traveling salespeople, they drive more. But people who don't regularly drive for a living, I've driven in 13 different countries. I've driven on the wrong side of the goddamn road in the car in three of them. I've driven on a different continent. And so I've logged a lot of miles in a lot of situations.
And motorcycles, too.
You motorcycles, big cars, little cars, trikes, everything. I've logged a lot of miles, and I don't think I'm good enough to text and drive.
No. I think, you talk about the dependency. We are more dependent on our devices today than we ever have been on any devices in history. Seriously, your life is in this device. It's your email. It's your social media connection. It's your phone book. Yeah. You don't use a phone book anymore. All your numbers are stored in here. You don't have to remember a phone number anymore because you're literally carrying a phone book with everybody right. that you give a hoot and hell about in that phone.
And then when you need to call somebody, except for a human, you can't look up anybody. I mean, you can, but it's not as easy as it used to be to look up a person because everybody's still somewhat private. But
somewhat.
But you want to look up a business, just Google it, and there's the phone number. You touch it, boom, it dials it.
Exactly. So we're more dependent upon this technology today than any technology we've ever had in our lives. And that dependency, I think, is still poised to grow. I think there's still going to be some increased dependency on it moving forward. Because, you know, and part of that comes from, if we're being honest here, the fact that older populations that don't use it quite as much are dying off. And, you know, if you're under 65, you are highly dependent on technology.
Yeah.
If you're under the age of 65. And as we move forward, those numbers of people in older age groups that are dependent on technology is only going to increase because we're getting older. The 40 and 50 somethings are going to be the 60 and 70 somethings here pretty soon. And guess what? We're not going to give up our phones just because we crossed a certain age barrier. We're not going to give up our technology just because we get to a certain point in life. If anything, the overall percentage of people dependent on the technology is just going to get bigger.
Yeah. Well, okay. The whole point is do your best to try to be not drive as little distraction as possible.
Be a statistic.
Exactly. Don't be a statistic. Guys, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, this podcast being brought to you in part by Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop. Get us online at lpsweet.com.
Eddie Cookies.
Thank you. Eddie Hills Fun Cycles, 401 North Scott, downtown Wichita Falls, EddieHillsFunCycles.com, MagTech Solutions, 4020 Ray Road, Suite 3B, Finishing Touch Plaza, Wichita Falls, Texas, where the MagTech Solutions studio is, which is where we are right now. And we would love to have you as a sponsor. If you're looking to maybe sponsor a podcast, hey, come on. Yeah. We're nice guys. Come on. And we work dirt cheap. We really do.
You know, have food. Bring food.
Yeah.
The food's a big, that's a great way to get in the door. Yeah. It really is. Anyway, until next time, guys, take care. We will see you down the road.